Welcome back to the Press Box. In a big week this week, my great guest again, Tom Amos. Tom down in New Orleans. Got a couple of good ones going on Saturday in the Fairgrounds Oaks and the Louisiana Derby. Welcome back as always, Tom.
Thanks for having me, Gene.
Big weekend, buddy. Big steps forward, hopefully, for all concerned. But let's talk first about Hoosier Philly going in the Fairgrounds Oaks. Small field, but what a talented group.
Yeah, a talented group, and hopefully a chance for Hoosier Philly to redeem herself off a race that was not her best. And although she experienced a great deal of trouble starting right out of the starting gate, you know, she just didn't have that punch down the lane. And whether that's related to all the trouble she had or not, I think this race coming up, the Fairgrounds Oaks, is going to have a lot to say about all that.
Well, you know, I speaking from an observer, not somebody that's with her every day like you, I thought the bobble at the start of the race really kind of took her completely out, both mentally, maybe a little bit, because she's never really had any problems. And the way she's really put away horses in the past, I think, you know, she tried, and I think it's a toss race for me as a handicapper, and she's just shown too much quality and too much ability to let that bobble. I just think that bobble took her out of the race.
So there's a lot to be said to that, and I'm going to start with something you just mentioned, which is the mental aspect of it.
Yeah.
Something that a lot of horse players don't take into account, but it's certainly something that's there, you know? And so I think that that has got a chance to play a big part in how she ran, you know, as well as just being totally out of position. She was in last. She was stuck. The pace was slow. There's a lot of things to be said there, but you can't, you know, turn a blind eye to the fact that down the lane she didn't really have a big punch.
Yeah, you know, I think that the thing that's so encouraging to me, Tom, as a handicapper and a friend and a real fan of yours, but a real fan of this filly, and I admit it up front, I love watching classy fillies in particular, but is the way she came back and she worked on March the 16th, just a week out from today, as we talk on Thursday. And I thought maybe her work was really kind of indicative of the way she had run in the past.
Yeah, she's prepared very well. You know, that last start was off the layoff, and she prepared very well into that race. But she has. She's prepared really well. So, you know, we're very hopeful that we see in the mornings.
You know, you mentioned that there was not much pace in the race, and then she was stuck down, you know, and really never was in a comfortable spot. Pretty Mischievous is coming back, and she likes to be forwardly placed. The Alley's Look, trained by Brad Cox, likes to be, I think, forwardly placed. Where would you think, if everything works perfect for Edgar Morales, your rider, where would you hope and like to be?
Well, I first of all, I think the draw, getting in the five-hole in a five-horse field, should she do something unusual out of the gate like happened last time, she's able to recover without having, you know, traffic in front of her being on the outside. But I see a lot of speed in this race, not just those two. But you know, it doesn't look like anybody is a really confirmed closer in the race. That doesn't mean they can't be tactically placed and move forward. So, you know, to me, it's a rider's race. You know, what goes on that first quarter of a mile where people decide they're comfortable being and how quick they go, which I guess would be the ingredients of any race, is going to have a lot to do with the outcome.
You know, you mentioned a couple of times the lack of punch in the stretch. You know, I know that, you know, coming off of that, it's a question now for you, but she had never done that in the past. She always drew away so impressively.
Right. No, I agree with that. I mean, her ability in the past has been, by the time they get to the top of the stretch, you know, she is in a pouncing position and has not been asked.
Yeah.
And that didn't occur this time around. So, look, there's some unanswered questions here. I don't pretend they're not. And again, I think, you know, if she runs her race, you know, I see her in, again, in a very much a pouncing position at the top of the stretch, turning for home. you know, and controlling what happens from there.
Yeah. Well, I'm you know, Tom Amos has had 71 starters, 20 wins, 15 seconds, 11 thirds, winning percentage of 28% for the meet, wins with 25% on beaten favorites, and is a heck of a horse trainer. but, you know, I always say you're a great handicapper, too. You know, I just, for me, from a handicapping perspective, I'm looking at Tom Amos's ability and the horse's ability, and I got to think that Saturday there's a little bit of redemption, if there needs to be any. And we head into Louisville on that first Friday of May with a filly that we all think could be one of the best of this crop.
Yeah, look, that's what we've been working towards since that race. And in her preparation, we have been, working towards that goal. We feel like we've got it right. And, you know, the big test, of course, is on Saturday afternoon.
Yeah. Well, let's move on to the Louisiana Derby. Grade 2, a mile and 3/16, a big prep for this year's 149th Kentucky Derby. You've drawn the three-hole with Curly Jack. You know, I thought, you know, he got stuck in a really compromising, you know, spot in the Risen Star. What do you make of Curly Jack? What do you think? What do you anticipate? Big race on Saturday in the Louisiana Derby.
Well, when you look back at the Risen Star for Curly Jack, his last start, and that was also off the layoff, one thing that race strongly suggests that that is evident from the, you know, the chart, is that if you were up close, you were getting nothing in that race. If you were one of the ones that waited and tried to finish hard on the end, you got something out of the race. So, you know, when you're trip handicapping, which I often say is the last value frontier we have out there for handicappers in terms of betting, when you're trip handicapping, you know, those horses were all up close, they all backed up, so you can look further into that, look into that chart and see, you know, who was able to fight on the most of the ones that were up there early, which Curly Jack was one of those. And he fought on pretty good. But that's not how we want to race him. And having the three-hole gives us an advantage of just breaking and sitting and not losing much ground. He has no problem being behind horses or getting dirt in his face or anything like that. I'd look for him to have a much more relaxed trip. Although, I will say this, this race going a mile and 3/16, when you start trying to see how the pace is going to develop in this race, the Louisiana Derby, you're left scratching your head a little bit. I don't see, you know, a confirmed front runner. I don't see confirmed pace in here. So, you know, as any race, it's a puzzle, and and the puzzle's going to be played out by the horses and the riders. But, you know, if we lay back, which is our intention, we certainly want to have pace in front of us.
You know, this horse has run some big races, I think, Tom. If you go back in the Kentucky Jockey Club Grade 2 event there at Churchill to end up the 2022 season, I thought his run there to be second to Instant Coffee was probably about as impressive as he's been. I know he won the Iroquois at Churchill as well, but I thought his run in the Kentucky Jockey Club certainly puts him in the caliber any of these horses, including the post-time favorite, or what I figure will be the post-time favorite, but the morning line favorite, Instant Coffee.
You can make a strong case that in the Jockey Club, he ran a winning race. He got in trouble, you know, had to get restarted. The pace was slow. He ran a very good race. When he got out of trouble, he was finishing strong in the end. And that's, you know, anybody that watches races will be able to see that if they go back and look. So, you know, we need a performance that says, you know, that he can do that again. That he can, you know, finish up strong and come get those horses. A little bit like, you know, Hoosier Philly, it's just going to be one of those things where we have to see.
Yeah. What has to give you some encouragement if he runs well, and I expect him to run well on Saturday. But look at his record at Churchill. He breaks his maiden going 5.5 by 4 lengths. Comes back, he wins the Iroquois, beats some nice horses. And then he runs second in the Kentucky Jockey Club. I mean, three starts, two wins, and a second. He certainly loves home. at Churchill Downs.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I would hate to go into the Kentucky Derby with enough points to be in there, but not what people would consider a contender based on what he's accomplished.
Yeah.
And he has points from last year.
Yeah.
You know? So, I would like to see a big race from him, something
yeah.
that makes him, you know, not a horse that earned his way in as much as a horse that looks like he has a real chance.
Yeah. You know, Tom, I'm going to let you go. I know you're busy and got so many things to do to wrap up and get ready for Saturday. But, you know, you've been around some awfully good horses in the past and won some big races. You know, not long ago you won the Kentucky Oaks. Do you see and you come out of the Fairgrounds race when you didn't run well because she bled in that race, but you know, what do you think? I mean, what's your gut telling you as you go in? I mean, again, you're as good a handicapper as I've ever known in this business.
So are we speaking just generally about the two races?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, trainers are right way to put it. To be a good trainer, you gotta have a lot of confidence in yourself.
Yeah.
You gotta have a lot of confidence in your horses, and I don't lack in either of those. So you know, maybe the right word for trainers, but good trainers is narcissist. I don't know, but you know, I go into those races looking forward to it,
yeah,
wanting to compete, and trying to get an opportunity to show who we are. And it's an exciting time of the year. This is it.
Yep.
These horses prep for the last time before the Kentucky Derby and the Kentucky Oaks. We want to prove that we're, you know, capable enough to belong in those races and enjoy the fruits of that when we get to Louisville.
Well, you kind of like in the Sweet 16 or the Elite 8,
yes.
You're trying to make that Final Four, and there's some butterflies that go along with that, but if there's anything I know about you and your barn, is they're going to come over there on Saturday looking the part, and certainly going to be I know they say that we're not supposed to have rooting interest, but I root for good horses and good people, and certainly I'm rooting for Tom Amos and on Saturday.
I appreciate it, Gene. I'll be thinking about it. Thank you very much.
Well, all the best to you and the family. All the best to your horses. Look forward to seeing you there Saturday, and all the best, and thanks for taking time out. You always do, and appreciate it. And you're a great ambassador for the best sport ever made, and really appreciate you.
All right, Gene. I'll see you soon.
Thanks, Tom. See you, buddy.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.